This is your Week in Gaming, episode 37, recorded for the 6th of April, 2024, to bring you all the latest news from the world of gaming. On today's episode of the podcast, we talk Day 1 Game Pass releases, April Fool's Day, Eternal Strands, and a LEGO autocomplete. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 37 of your Week in Gaming. I almost said 36 because apparently I can't count. And it's also the weekend. We're not recording this on the normal Wednesday. When you are listening to this episode, we would have recorded it just mere moments before for reasons that we don't need to really get into. But I'm Andrew, and I'm joined once again by my co-host, Samantha.
What's up? We are plagued with bad luck, I'm not going to lie.
It really has been an absolute challenge with just struggles and just uphill challenges the last like 2-3 weeks, really. But we persevere. And yesterday when I was messaging Sam, we're like, let's just do the recording on Saturday and get it done. I'm surprised that Samantha's up at this hour anyway on a weekend.
Excuse me. This is my usual wake up time. Okay. Calm yourself.
For everybody that needs to know, midday is Samantha's wake-up time, in case you were wondering.
Okay, it's normally like 10, all right? Calm yourself. Depending on what's... I mean, if I finish work at 5 a.m., I'm going to bed at 6, and I'm waking up at 3, and no one is going to stop me. But today was not one of those midday days, so...
Midday, but the main thing is we still wanted to get you guys... There's been a lot of news that's come out. I actually woke up when emails from some of the news site subscriptions, things like Nintendo DS and Nintendo Wii servers are going to be shut down and stuff. So it's been crazy. But before we start getting completely sidetracked, let's get into some of the gaming news. And gaming news now, and for all of your Game Pass holders, there are a lot of games that are going to be released for you within the next month. Right, especially day one releases. You want a full list? Don't worry, I've got you covered. We've got Ark Survival Ascended, F123, Super Hot, Mind Control Delete, LEGO 2K Drive, Little Gator Game. There's the EA Sports PGA Tour, Kona, Botany Manor, which is a day one release, right? Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. And the next few games we're going to read are all day one releases for this month. Harold Halibut, Ideon Chronicle 100 Heroes, Another Crab's Treasure, and Manor Lords. So again, we're like a stuck record. If you don't have Game Pass, I still just do not understand why you don't.
I see that this month there's a lot of horror games that are being removed from Game Pass because obviously, as we know, these things are cyclical. So they'll bring in games for a few months, a few years, whatever the case is, and then they'll be phased out to, you know, to make room for new games. And some of the games that are being taken out are things like Amnesia, and there's like a bunch of other horror games that are being removed. So if you want your last chance to play those games for free or to get them at a discounted price, hop to.
Yeah, I mean, I actually like what they do. They have games that are fairly old that come on. They sit around on Game Pass for quite a long time before they are eventually cycled out. And I like that because if you do have a Game Pass subscription, if you don't want to have to go and purchase a new game constantly or all the time, right, you always will have something to try or play with Game Pass. There are some games that you could play for, you know, many times over and over because of the replayability or their simulator games or whatever. But some of the games that are like story, you could play it and be like, okay, cool, I really enjoyed that. And you can delete it and it's done. You've played it. There are so many titles. And I mean, here in South Africa, it's like $180 or something, $150.
Like 80 rand? It's like nothing.
It's
super cheap.
So I know that for like the ultimate Game Pass Ultimate or whatever the case is like $200 or $150. It's super cheap. It's like $10.
Sorry, I'm not that flush. Okay.
It's like $10. So if you're ever thinking about like, you know, looking for, you don't know what game to play or you don't know what you have, if you haven't got Game Pass, at least go and look at what they have. I'm telling you now, you will find something that either you have wanted to try or something that you are going to love on Game Pass and it's going to be a fraction of the cost.
So as much as it pains me to admit this, because I have been a PS5 elitist for, well, not PS5, but PlayStation elitist when it comes to the console war. Obviously, we all know PC wins the general war, but the console war, I was very much PS5, or PlayStation. And one of the reasons for that was because PS Plus used to be so good. Because much like Game Pass, you would get like a set few games that would come out in a month, but you could keep them forever so long as you, you know, maintain your subscription. They don't get dialed out. And I was like, yo, that's sick. And then like they made PS Plus really trash. And they added all these tiers and stuff, and like the low tier isn't even worth having anymore. And the games that come out for free, like they used to have these really cool AAA games, and now you just get like random bullshit like Oddworld and stuff like that. Like just really dumb games that nobody actually cares about. And a few days ago, a couple of weeks ago, some friends of my brother's were down. And they've got kids. That's why they're friends. Their kids are friends. And they were saying they used to have a console. They had to get rid of it. Now they want to get a new console. They're looking at the PlayStation. You know, is it worth it? And I just said to them, hold up. You have kids, right? You want an Xbox because you want to pay $80 for a monthly subscription, or 130, whatever the case is, for a monthly subscription that gives you a ton of games. And it works on both the PlayStation, or rather the Xbox and the PC. So like somebody can be jamming out on the PC while somebody else is chilling on the Xbox, and you can all like benefit from this thing. So genuinely, I think specifically for families, but for anyone really, Game Pass is such a good investment. So if you're looking at a console, as much as PlayStation is winning in a lot of ways, if you're looking for like real value for money in terms of like gaming and stuff, Xbox is looking pretty damn attractive.
Yeah, I think from a family perspective, Xbox is just super worth, especially with the Game Pass thing. So again, if you need another reason to get Game Pass, like family, think about it like that. Like, you know, your entire household can pretty much play on a ultimate pass. So do the right thing. Get Xbox Game Pass.
Pay your TV license.
It's the right thing to do.
Yellow Brick Games, founded by former Dragon Age creative director Mike Laidlaw, is boasting talent formerly of BioWare and Ubisoft, and they have just unveiled the first trailer for Eternal Strands. Now, let me start by saying, if you're expecting some Dragon Age-esque gameplay, time to temper those expectations. Eternal Strands is an action adventure, but borrows elements heavily from franchises like Zelda, Monster Hunter, and Shadow of the Colossus. You take on the role of Bryn, a quote-unquote fearless weaver determined to recover her people's cultural home. With the use of magic and strength, use the environment to your advantage for cover or as a makeshift weapon, and explore the map, using your magic to forge new paths and discover secrets untold. There is no set release date yet, but go take a look at the trailer. You can definitely see how it's pulled inspiration from some really great sources, and it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
The people that have made Dragon Age, right? Let's be honest. As much as it's an EA title, and some people are like, oh, EA, or whatever the case is, Dragon Age games were really good. Every single one. I like Dragon Age, Dragon Age 2, Inquisition. Like, all of them were really beautiful, well-made games, whether they had flaws when they were released or not, and they were fixed. If you had to play them right now, super, super worth, right? The fact that this game, having a look at it, it looks really, really nice. And all the inspiration is like from really, really good games as well. You know, big fan of Monster Hunter, big fan of Zelda. You throw all of these kind of elements into a game by people that could make a game as good as something like Dragon Age. And, you know, you're going to pique a lot of people's attention. It looks really, really cool. I've already got it marked down as one of my games to look out for. Wait until we hear some, you know, some more information, get a release date for this as well, because it does look impressive.
I was sick, like watching the trailer, you know, you check, she's fighting against these massive like Goliath figures, like Attack on Titan vibes, and she's doing these like crazy flick flacks to like get on top of their heads and like swinging her sword around and like using telekinetic powers to pick up rocks and throw them at these creatures and stuff. it's really, really, I don't know, the whole environmental aspect to it really adds like another layer of dynamicism. And I see that, like, we spoke about Marvel Rivals, I think it was in the last episode, which is also like, it's like Overwatch with environmental stuff. So that's definitely becoming a huge like draw point for a lot of games, and I'm digging it. I like the direction that some of these games are going in, as long as it's not always online.
I hope you're paying attention, all your other developers. What is it? Payday 3, Diablo 4, all of these online always get, no, let's stop. Let's go away from that. Just let a single player game be single player. Or if I want to play online, let me play online. Don't make me have to be online to play a single player game. That's a nice little rant for a Saturday.
Mike.
Were you one of those that fell for all those April Fool Day pranks? Those that thought the game called Contact Warning was a prank for being free were the real winners, though. Besides all the other pranks, like, you know, a Pal World dating sim, the Google Maps that became like a giant Pac-Man game, and Blizzard announcing WoW Ogres, right? Content Warning was like not one of these. Unfortunately, it's not free anymore, but it still amassed over 6.2 million ads to the library, and it's at a very fair price of only $8. This co-op horror game groups four emoji-faced characters together called ASCII, who live in the old world through a camera lens to try and capture scary footage for SpookTube, right? if they get enough viewers, they can then get more equipment to further improve survivability, you know, just the whole thing. Have more viewers, have more subscribers, ad money, that kind of thing. You know, you're able to afford and get better equipment. Now, whilst the game does have a few bugs, looking at it, it's a very interesting graphically, and the gameplay has made a hit for a lot of people, with peak numbers peaking over 200,000. All right, that's no small feat for an indie game. All right, so if you're interested, I suggest having a look at it and picking it up. It's cheap, it's a spoopy game. So if those are your kind of things, like it's a cheap game, I like spooky games, then a game like this for you and up to four buddies, super worth.
I wonder if people even know what ASCII is anymore.
There are going to be people that are going to know exactly what ASCII is, and then there are going to be other people that are going to be like, huh? I know Richard will be one.
Yes.
Richard will definitely know who what ASCII is, and a good few people. But I mean, the game looks really cool. You're playing the game through like a camera lens. I mean, some of the emoji face characters look really, really cool. And the game does have like really spoopy like sections. I went and watched like one or two people on YouTube that were playing it, and it's definitely a game that will appeal to a lot of people. I am not one of the people, because I'm not a big fan of spoopy games, right? But I understand why people really liked it. Plus, it was free, and people are still buying the game now, even though after it was free. It's like $8. It's like R100, R120. It's a super cheap game that even if you had to play for just a couple of hours, like, it's super bang for buck.
See, I missed this. And the reason for that is that on the 1st of April, I went social media dark, because
yes,
all of the April Fool stuff is freaking cringe and I cannot be bothered. The only good April Fool's Day thing that I saw was the Power World dating sim. And the only reason I thought it was cool was because it was believable. It actually, I am not ashamed to admit, it got me. When I first saw that, I was like, what? Because it was so believable. And then I realized, oh God, it's April 1st. And then all the dumb stuff started coming up. Like, I don't know if you saw the Razor chair, like the Cthulhu chair that like feeds you. I was like, oh, no. As soon as I saw that, I was like, cool, that's enough social media for today. We're not doing that. But it means that I did miss out on this game. So that's a bit sad. But I might just go ahead and pick it up anyway. I do enjoy the occasional group spook, you know. Like, single-player spoop is not my vibe. But, like, group spoop, you know, I can be on truck duty or the, you know, whatever the content warning equivalent is, much like I do in Phasmophobia. So, yeah, maybe I'll give it a go.
Yeah, so super cheap, really cool indie game. Go and give them a you know, check out, and I'm pretty sure that if you do pick it up, you'll get a good few hours. Plus, it's going to be a lot more fun to play with some friends. So, first goal, find friends. Second goal, get game and go and play it with friends.
God. Have you ever heard the term triple I game? Because I hadn't before today. Evil Empire's Triple I initiative will highlight over 30 indie studios with new reveals and gameplay demos on April 10th. And the event aims to focus on these quote-unquote Triple I games. So what does that mean? It's essentially a game created by an indie company featuring double or triple A production value. I love this content or this concept. We are big fans of indie games here. And while these games do get some love, there are a few like indie showcases. Steam's got one quite regularly. I feel like they're not nearly as appreciated as their AAA counterparts. If you want to support indie, but you still want to have a AAA experience and never knew how to marry the two, look no further than the Triple I Initiative. This event will be live on 10 April on YouTube, Twitch, IGN, and Steam at 7 p.m. GMT plus 2, which is South African time for those that don't know, and will only last 45 minutes. So 30 games in 45 minutes, just a quick rapid-fire, bite-sized info dump. And if you miss it, don't worry, because we will be sure to cover the highlights. But I think this is so cool. You know, very often I'll look at an indie game and I'll be like, but it's like all pixely and it's this and it's that. And you get this idea in your head, like, you know, indie games are inferior. So the fact that we're now going to have a full-on showcase of triple A game quality indie games that you can support, fantastic. And of course, it gives more exposure to those indie devs. So maybe they won't be indie for very long.
Yeah, I like this because there are often you're going to come across games that are from, you know, that are very indie and are super, super good. Mm. I think one game, Firewatch, I mean, it is a fairly old game now, but it's a beautiful game, well written, a small studio, and it's super good. Some people argue Hades isn't indie. Potentially it is, but I mean, all these. Stardew Valley. I'm pretty sure that we can say that that's a indie game.
Yeah.
And look how big and popular that is. There's a lot of rare Ori and the Blind Forest. I think
Pal
is
World.
Also
yeah.
How. All of these are like from indie developers. They're not like big, massive studios that have got billions of dollars worth of, you know, assets and things that they can use to manufacture games. A lot of these people have to do it from scratch. Dark and Darker is a game, you know, with all of their legal battles and things. You know, with that game progressing, it's a really good indie game. There's so many out there, and a lot of the time people are too afraid or don't want to spend the money because either they feel like it's going to be a waste or they don't trust the developer or anything like that. So a whole showcase where they, you know, these people, because whatever games they do showcase in like the 30 minutes, right? Like they would have had to do some sort of research on all of them, right? They can't just go and throw any. So it'll be like 30 really good indie games. So if there was ever a reason to have a look and be like, you know what, I'm actually going to support indie game. Let's have a look at this. You know, we will probably watch it, cover it, and, you know, give the games that really scream out. Also, if any of these games happen to be on something like a Game Pass, it's a no-brainer then.
Oh,
it
yeah.
really and truly is.
Right, so this week, in lieu of a soon-to-be success, I've opted to add another news piece. Because I felt like this warranted a bit of discussion. There was a lot of like really good news this week, and I didn't really want to sideline any of the points that we had. So Discord is going to be introducing adverts to the platform, and I'm in two minds about it. And I know that Discord isn't a game, but obviously, like, we all use it. Gamers, Discord, name a more iconic duo. Don't say TeamSpeak, for the love of God. On the one hand, businesses need to make money. And ad revenue is one of the most popular and frankly lowest effort ways of doing so. However, it's not like Discord doesn't offer other paid services, including two tiers of paid subscriptions that grant a variety of incredibly useful perks. Things like increased audio quality, increased video streaming quality, increased size of files that you can send, custom emojis. Like there's a lot of cool stuff that you get with your $10 per month. So my immediate thought was, I'm on the highest tier paying a $10 monthly subscription for Nitro. There's no way I'm getting ads, right? Well, as it turns out, no one has to get ads. Apparently, there will be an option to simply turn them off, which begs the question, so what's the point? Clearly, Discord realized this and will be adding incentives to watch ads and to gamify them by adding rewards. They're calling them sponsored quests, but the type of rewards are as yet unknown. I genuinely don't know how to feel about this. It's not my problem if it makes no sense and I can just turn it off because, like, I'm a consumer. I don't have to think about this from, like, this is a project that I am working on kind of standpoint. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense to me. But the fact that it doesn't make sense is hurting my brain.
Look, I think it's a difficult one to wrap your head around. I think we also need to remember that the people that have created Discord are gamers. You know, a lot of us, we don't like those 30-second unskippable ads.
Temu ads. YouTube,
or Temu ads.
The Knorr ad, bro. Oh,
you have these Knorr ads on Twitch, or the one with Nedbank, a Chowtown.
Play, learn, and earn.
You see, all of these, like some of us, like, we don't like advertisements, right? Your brands, we'll see it, you know. I don't mind like the small ads that are, like, on the side or whatever, but those videos that are in your face, you know, is weird. As always, companies need to make money, you know. Discord has investors, you know, they need to, you know, keep them happy. They've got employees and families that they support, which, you know, they want to keep happy. So they're obviously making money through the subscriptions, but if they're wanting to do bigger and better things, they need to find additional sources of revenue. So having people put ads on is great. I mean, Discord has got tens of millions of users, if not more. I know some businesses that actually use Discord over Slack and stuff. Just show you like what kind of reach, you know, Discord does have. So I'm fine with this. If there's just an option for me to just opt out, fine. I mean, if some of the rewards are like, hey, get, you know, if you watch like three ads or whatever the case is, get a free server boost. That's a super cool thing. Maybe it's you know, it custom stickers or emojis. I mean, like, we all like our emotes that we use across servers and things, and stickers and all of these kind of stuff. So I'm not against it. It just depends on what the rewards are. If they're worthwhile, then I'll probably keep the ads on. You know, it supports people. I get something out of it. It's a win-win. If it's something that's really useless, chances are I'll just turn off the ads until I find that, hey, there's a quest that's worthwhile. Then I'll watch some ads, whatever the case is. So it's a difficult one. There must be far smarter marketing people than me that are thinking, that have got an idea for why they're doing this, but it would be interesting to, you know, for them to at least tell us what it is.
So as I understand it, they're not going to be like super obnoxious ads that just like pop up on your entire screen and stop you from being able to like talk or whatever. It'll just be like little ones in the bottom left of your screen. So at least they're not gonna theoretically interrupt your just kind of like day-to-day stuff. But like, I think about how Discord have done a collaboration with Valorant for their newest agent, Clove. And you can get like really cool banners and like profile picture filter thingies and whatever. And you pay for those. But doing a collaboration with Riot is pretty cool. It's pretty big. I also do know, so in the article that I found, I didn't like list this in my breakdown, but apparently Discord is ramping up for a layoff, much like everyone else in the tech industry at the moment, which should affect about 17% of their workforce, which is rough. So, I mean, when you consider that, there's definitely an understanding for why they want to increase their revenue stream, because even though they have made like record-breaking profits in the last couple of years, it's not enough. So yeah, I mean, the way that they're doing it is weird, but I do understand the necessity.
Yeah, look, we'll have to have a look and see how it plan, like, you know, how it plays out and everything. As long as it's not super obnoxious, I'm really very indifferent to it. Plus, at the end of the day, you're a business. You need to make money. So, you know, print that paper. As always, there's a lot of news that we haven't been able to cover in the main segment. So we've got the special mention segment, as always. And kicking it off, CD Projekt Red's team for The Witcher 4, codenamed Polaris, has 403 developers ready for production. The new Witcher trilogy will be built on Unreal Engine 5, promising fresh gameplay elements. Following the massive success with Cyberpunk 2077, CD Projekt Red has plans for multiple titles in the Witcher saga.
Very exciting. Dragon's Dogma 2 has added the ability to create a second save file without needing to pay for it. Huzzah! Hilariously, news outlets are reporting on this as Capcom listening to player complaints. But let's face it, that should have never been an issue to begin with, and they're simply doing what they should have at the start, which is a surprisingly common occurrence in gaming these days.
So wild. The Sims 4 Backyard stuff is currently free on the EA app, so make sure to go grab it if you haven't already. The next planned promo for the is for the Blooming Rooms kit DLC, presumably sometime after April 13th. The Sims are notorious for an abundance of all of expensive add-ons, so grab the free ones whilst you can, because there is so many of them.
There's so many.
There's so many. Just get the free ones.
Yeah. I'm there, bro. Like, every time there's a free one, yoink, 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 yoink. Great. Getting ready for The Sims 5, you know, so that I can just abandon all of these add-ons in, I don't know, a couple of years. Exactly. Spyro fans may have a new game to look forward to at Toys for Bob, potentially reviving the iconic Purple Dragon solo adventures. Rumors suggest a new mainline Spyro game is in development. While details remain unconfirmed, anticipation grows as the possibility of Spyro's return under Xbox emerges after Toys for Bob split from Activision. Good call.
Apple updates its App Store policies to allow retro game emulators, but with strict rules on copyright compliance. Gamers have found ways to run emulators on Apple devices in the past, but developers will now have an officially sanctioned option. New rules may benefit gaming companies like Sega, raising questions about who can release simulators.
Yeah, like, is it just going to be devs that are allowed to? Can anyone do it? How do they get around the copyright thing? Like, there's a lot of... But it's cool, you know, being able to play Pokemon Red and Blue, you know, be sick.
Sapphire Ruby on like an old Game Boy emulator or something. That'll be pretty cool.
Ubisoft Toronto Studio seemingly teases a Splinter Cell remake update through a new social media image change to feature Sam Fisher's iconic tri-goggles. Fans have eagerly awaited news on a new Splinter Cell game since 2013, with 2021 announcement of a remake generating excitement. Ubisoft Toronto's social media update sparked speculation that Splinter Cell remake will be featured during June's Ubisoft Forward 2024. So keep your eyes open on June 10th.
Speaking of which, we have two other big game showcases coming up, so diarize them now and I'll update you as we go. First up is the rumored PlayStation showcase next month, as well as the Summer Game Fest on the 7th of June.
A new Prince of Persia game by Evil Empire may launch this year, potentially a roguelite with constantly evolving updates. While Lost Crown seemed to underperform in sales, it was received with rave reviews for its Metroidvania gameplay. Fans of the series eagerly anticipate the next installment.
The Outlaws Trials, banned in Saudi Arabia, offers intense horror experiences with multiplayer for the first time in the series. Fans in Saudi Arabia were reportedly refunded for the banned game, with no clear reason given for the sudden ban. The Outlaws franchise reputation for terror and violence may have led to the game being banned in the region. Seems a little weird, but...
I mean, listen, if it was South Korea, I'd be like, yeah, okay. But, I mean, you got to do some seriously messed up stuff to be banned in just, like, a normal country.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So what that tells me is that I'm never playing that.
So Sam will wait to hear about what the game is like and everything from somebody like me that will play it, or my wife at least.
There you go.
And in this week's news nobody cares about, what's the fastest you can that you think you can click your mouse, Sam?
Not very.
How many clicks a second? 3, 5, 10, maybe 20?
I don't know. Like 4.
4 clicks a second, right?
Maybe.
It might be fairly quick, all right? Well, let me tell you, in the world of Lego Technique, right? Now, I don't know if you know what Lego Technique is in general, but it's made by the same, it's Lego, right? Mm. But it's not often like, you know, the bricks with the, you know, the little knobs connect them all together. It's more like the beams and the rods and gears and things like cars.
I have a 10-year-old nephew. I know about this nonsense.
I get so like giddy and everything when it comes to Lego. I mean, you will be able to see, viewers won't, but I mean, I've got Lego desk, like a little botanical garden. Mm-hmm. I have got Lego on my desk at work. I've got Lego on display. We've got Lego flowers. Like, our entire house is going to be Lego. I came to Lego and I saw this. I was like, we need to talk about it, right? So, in the world of Lego Technique, one person has made an auto clicker for a mouse that taps at a record-breaking 70 clicks per second, right? Why would somebody want to do this? Because they can, obviously. The maker and developer of this, Lucas, at Lucas Dynamics, wanted to make the world's fastest auto-clicker, and I think he basically just did it, right? So the clicks per second are measured using a website called cpstest.org, and it's crazy to think that this was achieved, right? The record prior to this was just a mere 37 clicks a second.
A mere,
when you think that he almost doubled it, you know, 37 is like a minuscule number, right? He used tape to help reinforce the mouse to protect it. At first, he couldn't even beat half of the record of 37. But after some gear adjustments, a changing of the angles, the motor, as well as the addition of the tape, he was able to reach a peak of 70 clicks per second. Again, why would you want to do this? Because he can.
That just sounds like someone who wants to figure out how quickly they can break their mouse.
Look, 70 clicks per second is incredibly fast.
Literally, after a second, your mouse is dead.
it's crazy to think that something like this could be achieved. But I mean, having a look at how it was built and the reinforcements that were done on the mouse, like the tape over the clicker and everything, in theory, it can be done. To achieve that kind of level of clicks per second, chances are a normal mouse or a mouse that hasn't been at least a little bit reinforced will break. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. I went to go and test, and I got to about 9, 10 clicks per second on average, which I felt like, you know what, that's pretty cool. I don't know how somebody did 37. There must have been some sort of clicker, I would assume, but like, that is just crazy to think about. It was really cool. It was Lego involved, so I was very glued already. But yeah, again, it's I like when people come up with some weird and wonderful inventions that then gives me an opportunity to talk about something that probably most other people couldn't be asked about.
I must say it's really sweet. So I mentioned my 10-year-old nephew. He actually wants to become a Lego Technic designer one day.
It's that very, is very so cool. He should definitely do it, because whatever Lego he does design, chances are I'll end up buying it.
Probably.
Because I love Lego so much. I really do. It's such a problem. I walk into the Lego store. Every single time I leave the store, I have bought something. It is a problem.
That's me in a bookstore, man. Except, I don't walk down the aisles. I happen to know the two managers of the branch. So I send them a list and I say, order these books for me. And then every couple of months, I send them a payment of like $8,000. And then my boyfriend collects the books and brings them for me. I have a lot of books.
I go into, you know, to the Lego store and I'm like, oh, you know, this Lego looks so nice. Spend like $2,000 on Lego.
Mm-hmm.
Or the most expensive, I've left a Lego store after spending about 12,000 Rand on Lego, which was the Lord of the Rings Rivendell set, which was like 6,000-7,000 pieces or something. It's super big and really nice. We got flowers, I think I got Robin, and there were some other things, but like that's the most money I've spent in one go, and that's not as much as I want to spend because I actually really want to get the Millennium Falcon as well, and that comes in at a whopping 17,500 Rand. So Lego South Africa, if you ever are listening to this by any chance, I will gladly, I don't even need to keep it. As long as I can just build it and you can put it on display, like I'll be perfectly happy with that. Just allow me to give me the opportunity to build it over like a week or something, because it'll probably take me that long to build it. But super cool. If you want to go and have a look a little bit more about this Lego technique and this auto clicker, Tom's Hardware has an amazing little article on it. There's some videos on YouTube of it. So again, if you like seeing silly things like clicking a mouse really, really fast, go check it out. Well, that about rounds up on News in Gaming this week. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode 37 of Your Week in Gaming. You can find us on socials at YWIG Podcast and by email to weekingamingpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Andrew, and you can find me at My Name is Pengu.
I'm Sam. You can find me at Nari Mizuki.
Our next episode will be out on Friday, the 12th of April, not Saturday or anything like that. It will be out on Friday, the 12th of April at 7 a.m. GMT plus 2 and across all major podcast platforms. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.